listeners, let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next 2 hours, they're going to be the views of Dr. Russell Blaylock. And Dr. Blaylock was out for our annual Radio Liberty conference, and stayed over today so he could be with us here in the studio tonight. And we're not going to talk about what Dr. Blaylock usually talks about, and that is medical issues. We're going to be talking about what is going on in the world financially. Because, of course, the very future of our nation, the future of our society as we know it, is under attack today. What the average person does not understand is that this whole current financial catastrophe and crisis has been created. It's been created by the same people who've been running our government from behind the scenes for many years. A group of very wealthy and powerful people who've wanted to change our constitutional system of government, allow centralization of all power in Washington, D.C., so they could control the populace. Their ultimate goal, of course, is far greater than just control of us common people here in America. They want to bring about a world government. They want to bring about a new world financial system. They want to bring about a new world currency, which is why they have to destroy the dollar and impoverish our people. And when the people are simply impoverished and have lost everything materially, they'll look to government to help them. And, of course, the elite who created this whole problem will be there. How did they create it? Well, we'll talk a little bit about that this evening. But, of course, this whole thing was carefully orchestrated. And if you have read my pamphlets on the financial meltdown, you'll see how they, step by step, they've been working to bring about the tragic situation where we find ourselves in today. Well, certainly, of course, in addition to the New World Order, the New World Financial System, the New World Currency, they want a New World Religion because there's an intense hatred of Christianity, and because behind these wicked men is a spiritual power, a spiritual force. This is why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And if you've read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you know, there we talk certainly about the Masons, the people who are part of a secret society who control the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, from 1941 to 1971. And certainly during those years, they took God and prayer out of our schools. Some years later, why other representatives of the elite took the Ten Commandments out of our schools, that was in 1980. But step by step, the whole purpose has been to create changes from a Christian society into a secular society. And then, of course, the next thing will be to take us into this one-world occult religion. Well, with that as a background, Dr. Blaylock has been studying this for many years. In addition to studying medical issues, he's been studying these people working behind the scenes who actually call themselves collectivists. And, of course, they are working in concert with the people who run the great corporations and the great banks, bringing us towards this one world government. Russell, it's good to have you with us in studio tonight.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, let's get started here. We're going to, of course, go to a brief break, but you go ahead and get started, and we'll go from there.
Well, I thought that we'd begin this by a discussion of exactly how we got here in the recent history. And it's a two-pronged attack, basically. One is the Federal Reserve being able to print money that has no value as currency. It's easy money called fiat money. And easy credit. And the second part of this two-prong attack is the influence of Congress to push through legislation, beginning first in 1977 under President Carter, the Communities Reinvestment Act, and then in 1995, I believe, Bill Clinton.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Russell.
And then at that point, Bill Clinton, during his presidency, increasing the power of this Community Reinvestment Act. And basically, it was under pressure from ACORN that you hear a lot about today. And the idea was to create a new entitlement. We know that there's a number of entitlements that we tell the American public or segments of the public that the federal government owes it to them. The housing is one of the latest entitlements. Health care is another. They want to make an entitlement. And so far, they've partially made health care an entitlement. And, of course, food is considered an entitlement that the federal government is responsible for supplying. Well, with the new idea of homes as an entitlement, this two-prong attack, first going through the Federal Reserve, pumping a lot of money into the circulation, creating easy credit, stimulating the community banks to make loans that were really considered very bad loans. Normally they would not make them, but according to this new law, they were forced to do it. And so they made loans in which there was no down payments. The interest rate on the loans was very low. So this encouraged a lot of people who normally could not obtain these loans because they were not able to support them to go out and buy expensive homes. The homes were overinflated because of this inflation of fiat money. The widespread consumption of these homes and these loans, considering of millions and millions of homes, then you started bundling the loans so that the large investment banks such as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and AIG and Bear Stearns and Merrill Lynch put a tremendous amount of their financial future based on these bad loans being bundled. Then, of course, when the housing market prices began to fall and people began to foreclose because they couldn't pay the interest on these expensive homes, they were stuck with a lot of bad debt. Well, of course, the Federal Reserve makes a lot of its money by bad debt. So they were glad to see this bad debt, and they began to encourage the Treasury Department to bail out these troubled organizations such as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and AIG. And, of course, the more money that they printed, this fiat money, to pay for this, this so-called $700 billion, which is now $850 billion, in payout, is money that will inflate prices enormously as it begins to circulate through the economy. We're talking about literally trillions of dollars over the next several months to
a year. Hold that thought, please, Russell. We'll be right back here. Well, Russell is simply talking about the idea that we have entitlements now under our Constitution. We're not entitled to anything other than freedom and the fact that government will allow us to be alone. But the socialists, the collectivists have been pushing the idea why people are entitled to food. That's why we have food stamps. People are entitled to health care. That's why we have Medicaid and we have health care for children. And it all comes from the benevolent big government who's here to help us. But it's really all about centralizing control. And then, of course, came up the idea of homes. People were entitled to homes. And so, of course, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were encouraged to, encourage people to get homes and lend people money for homes that they couldn't afford. And then, of course, Alan Greenspan and the Federal Reserve Board was telling people, take adjustable rate mortgages. My goodness, you can buy this beautiful home you can't afford where have a 2.5%, 3% interest, adjustable rate. Well, don't worry about it. The price of homes is going to go up. And so pretty soon your home will be worth a great deal more than, of course, you haven't put that down payment. You weren't required to put down a down payment. And of course, then of course, as the if financial institutions began to bundle these bad loans, and of course we're talking about Lehman Brothers and Sydney Bear Stearns and other major banking concerns, Merrill Lynch, they were all in on the scam, all laying themselves open, of course, to ultimate destruction, which is exactly what's happened as we move from the consolidation of banking control from many banks into fewer and fewer banks. And of course, what's going to happen to this $125 billion we've just given to the bankers on Wall Street, or of course, besides, of course, giving large sums of money to the people in key positions, that they can restrict their salary, maybe to a couple $100,000 a year. But they'll just give them lots of options to buy stocks. They'll give them free stocks. There are lots of ways that they can reward these people. They don't make it out of their salaries. They make it the other ways. And, of course, we're footing the bill. But now, of course, they're going to use all of this money that they're taking in to begin to buy up other banks. Oh, my goodness, we're going to have to buy up these weaker banks. And what this is really all about, of course, is the consolidation of power into fewer and fewer hands as we move from a free society to a fascist society, to the ultimate collectivist society, and the great trust that Edward Bellamy described in his book, Looking Backwards, back in the 1880s, a big trust that by 2000 would control the entire economy of the United States. Well, he's a few years off, but here we are in 2008, and what do we see? Why, we see the big banks buying up the little banks, the big corporations buying up the little corporations, and many, of course, are big corporations going bankrupt. Russell, pick up the story from there, please.
Well, that's the important principle of collectivism, was to push all of these corporations into one large corporation. If we go back to the history of the collectivism and its intellectuals, which I've read extensively, they understood quite clearly that they couldn't carry out this plan because of the Constitution. The U.S. Constitution, by its very structure, prevents collectivism in the United States. So they knew, number one, they had to either severely weaken the Constitution or get rid of it completely or rewrite it. And, of course, this is something that they've been pushing for. And you hear this a lot on the major networks now. They talk about living constitution, or that we need to alter the Constitution to modernize it. Well, that's because the collectivists cannot carry out this plan without it. Now, according to the collectivist intellectual writings, which began about 1880, gained a lot of steam in about 1920, 1930. According to them, they knew that Marxism wouldn't work in the United States, and so the American Socialist Party gave up the idea of a Marxist revolution. And what they said is, we can take over the corporate structure of the United States. It's an excellent model for creating the centralized control of the United States under the idea of this collectivist creation of absolute power. And so the American Socialists, the Fabian Socialists, the Reformists, the Capitalists, all joined together, that is, the captains of industry, such as J.P. Morgan and David Rockefeller, James Warburg, the international banker, and many of the leaders of major corporations, joined together, formed even an organization called the Collectivist Club, in which they studied this and created an extensive collectivist literature. In this, they said, society is following scientific laws of Darwinian evolution. Society evolves as well as biological things. And it's evolving from capitalism into this collectivist idea where there will be one corporation, where elitists rule the United States and everybody works for the corporation. And so they thought the corporate structure was a perfect model for this final control and status take over the United States, ruled by an elite. Of course, the elite would be government officials in combination with the leaders of these corporate structures that survived. And this is moving us toward that world government that Dr. Monteith talked about. It would control all aspects of life, and we even see this in their literature in recent ages. They say that we need to control the middle class and the lower classes. All people need to be controlled, told what professions they'll hold, where they'll live. Every aspect of their life needs to be scientifically designed and controlled. all of this is in the literature written by some of the most well-known intellectuals in this move. And, of course, one of them was Edward Bellamy. Bellamy was one of the early writers that's frequently quoted by these people because he saw very early that they needed to have absolute centralized control of the United States and everyone's life in the United States. And they pointed out the big enemy was the individual. And if you've watched some of these debates and some of the things on television, major networks, they're openly saying the enemy is individualism and we need a cooperative community type organization in society. Well, this is the same language that the collectivist intellectuals use. So we are moving into this collectivist idea. And one of the most powerful structures to bring that about is the Federal Reserve, formed in 1913 in a secret meeting on Jekyll Island. It was designed by an international banker from Germany, James Warburg, and the principal financier and leader of that was J.P. Morgan, the capitalist. They created a cartel of private banks, gave it a name, the Federal Reserve System, the Federal Reserve Act, so that people would think that this was part of a legitimate government. In fact, it was a cartel of private bankers who had unbelievable ability to create money out of nothing, and therefore they could create a massive inflation tax and control the existence of corporations, businesses, and even at a whim destroy the entire middle class, which we're seeing today. So we're seeing the fruition of the idea of the use of the Federal Reserve System to destroy the United States. Rothschild, who was an international German banker, and his family, Rothschild once said, "If you let me control the finances of a nation, I care less who makes the laws," because he knew that if you could control the finances, you could destroy a country at your whim, and it wouldn't matter who was making the laws. And that's where we are today. We have this whole situation of a movement towards centralization of the power in Washington, with behind the scenes this interaction with some very powerful corporate individuals, such as the Rockefeller family, which has always been people who led the dream of this collectivist corporate state. Their dream is now coming true, and we're seeing it occurring at such a rapid pace that most of us who have followed this for many, many years are surprised at the almost overnight implementation of this corporate collectivist state. Almost overnight, in the last two or three weeks, this has all occurred. And you're going to wake up pretty soon and realize almost all your freedoms are gone. And soon you're going to be directed in all aspects of your life. And you're going to wonder, how did this all happen? Well, now you have a pretty good idea how this came about.
And I think it's vitally important that people understand it's been going on for a long period of time. Probably when I first got started back in 1962, one of the first books I read was entitled Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It was basically a book that actually was even being suppressed at that time. It is available to our ministry. We've kept it in print. But it goes into the background of something known as the Rees Committee, which in 1953 and 1954, over tremendous pressure from the people of great wealth in this country, the Congressional Committee investigated the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie Foundations. And what did they find? They were pushing socialism. Why would people of great wealth be pushing socialism? I mean, did they really want to give up their wealth and their power? Of course not. They wanted to change our form of government, centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and then they'd be able to buy and sell the politicians. And it was simply a matter of controlling the populace. Erode the Constitution, adopt socialism, and then, of course, there are no restrictions on the power of these people of great wealth, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Fords. They knew exactly what they were doing, and so many gullible people, the average socialist and communist, thought they were fighting the very people who were actually financing their movement and doing everything they could to promote the centralization of power, which would mean the loss of the freedom that the communists and socialists had enjoyed in America and the rest of us enjoyed. That's so hard for people to understand, isn't it, Russell?
Oh, absolutely. It just seems so counterintuitive that the leaders of the capitalist world, the corporate leaders, and the bankers would be fighting to collectivize and socialize the entire nation and centralize power in the federal government. But Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, was quoted as saying, "The thing that I hate most is competition." Most people think that being the bedrock of the free enterprise system, they would support it. But in fact, he joined J.P. Morgan and some of the great captains of industry in their hatred of competition.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead. Pick the story up there, Russell.
And so as we see that, since this is the very essence of the free market system is competition, their attack is...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, Call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Ideas in the minds of our children are that what we need is a collectivist society, that the best society is one with an all-powerful government. Children are never taught that the founding fathers of America feared government because they knew that men were corrupt. You could never trust them with power. It is the elite who want all power centralized in Washington, D.C., who push socialism and communism, and so many liberals really are so gullible, they have no idea they're working for the very people they oppose. They recognize the evil of what these people have done. They don't realize, of course, that the things that they're working for, they think that somehow you can centralize power in government, and it can be used to control the wicked people. And, of course, what they really are doing is centralizing power in government, so the wicked people then will be able to control everything, and, of course, to destroy the middle class, to destroy the liberal professors, who are simply useful idiots. Most of them have no idea that they are working for the very people they oppose. But you go right ahead, Russell.
Well, just to give you an example how people get drawn into this, there's a new book out called Forsaken. And it's about naive liberals and leftists in this country during the 1930s, during the period of the Depression. And so they migrated to the Soviet Union because they thought this was the workers' paradise. They believed the propaganda. Well, these people were eventually put in the gulag. Most of them were killed. And, in fact, in the beginning of the book, they talk about a photograph that was taken of a baseball team in Moscow made of American youth, and that almost everyone in the photograph was eventually murdered by the Soviet government. Well, inside the gulag, what was so ironic is that there were a number of people who were very loyal communists, who did everything the Communist Party said, and they couldn't understand why they were in the gulag. They said, I can't believe that they betrayed me. I was a very loyal communist. Well, it shows that in revolutions and things that happen like this where centralized power occurs, once they're finished with you, then they put you in the prisons or they discard you. This has been seen repeatedly throughout history in virtually every revolution that's occurred in the last 1,000 years. So we know that, but we continue to find people who are liberal to the point that they think they're doing good. They think they're helping centralized government to do good things, and by the time they wake up, it's too late. The freedoms are gone, and you can't get them back. And this is one of the characteristics of centralization of power in government, is that it's irreversible in most cases. Well, we're the last free country in the world of any power. So once we're gone and we've lost our freedom, that means the rest of the world has lost its freedom as well. And there's no one to rescue us. There's no one to turn back and say, well, we've made a mistake. We want our freedom back. Once it's gone, it's essentially the end of the story of freedom in the world.
And, of course, this is why they precipitated this economic crisis, and, of course, it is going to literally wipe out the middle class. Many people are going to lose their homes, they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to lose, you know, their pension funds. Pension funds are losing money right and left. People think, oh, well, of course, we're just about at the bottom of the economic recession. You know, the stock market's going to come back again. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, you may have ups and downs, but we're going into an economic contraction that is going to last for 10 years in all probability. If you read the writings of Robert Prechter, who's been analyzing economics for over 30 years in something called the Elliott Wave newsletter, he tells you we're facing the worst economic contraction in 300 years. And this is going to go on for a very long time. And if you think things are bad now, you haven't seen anything at all. And all, of course, the money that they're pouring in here simply destroys the value of your savings and your annuities and your pension funds and everything that you've invested And the average individual doesn't understand it is designed to do that. Because an impoverished people will turn to government to help them. What we need to do is, of course, let the whole thing collapse, get back to a sound economy, and, of course, we can, of course, solve the problem. It'll take a few years, but we could be solved. The more, of course, we let the people who created the problem try to solve the problem, the longer it's going to go on. So our plea to you is get the information, understand the background, understand the great tax-exempt foundations, and get the material that Russell Blaylock has. He has read extensively on the collectivist movement. They've written the whole thing out. Read what David Rockefeller says, where he says, you know, that some people claim that the Rockefeller... we'll get this when we get back. David Rockefeller's a wonderful quotation in his memoirs. Russell, go right ahead.
Well, one of the things that's almost axiomatic in the study of history is that it's crises that increase the power of central government the most. They depend on a crisis occurring, no matter what it is, whether it's financial, whether it's a war, whether it's terrorism, whatever the crisis occurs, it massively increases the power of government. This has been written about extensively, not only in the collectivist literature, but also in the literature of military historians. We also know that the longer the crisis occurs, the greater the centralization of power in the government occurs and the more freedoms we lose. For instance, during the Depression of 1929, and it's interesting that the chairman of the Federal Reserve at the present time admitted that the Depression of 1929 was caused by the Federal Reserve. Now, it has taken all of these years for that admission to come forward, even though a number of very brilliant economists have proven it over and again that it was engineered by the Federal Reserve System. But despite the fact that this was occurring, the increase in taxes by the Hoover administration and later by Franklin Roosevelt and the massive federal spending on public works programs is what extended the Depression from what would have been naturally a year to 2 years to as long as 12 years. And it was only ended when we entered into World War I. So this massive crisis was extended for an extremely long period of time on purpose, because during that period of the Roosevelt administration, we saw an absolute astronomical growth in the power of government and a severe erosion of constitutional freedoms that continues to this day. And with each crisis, World War II, Vietnam, the Persian Gulf War, we have seen a massive increase in government power and a loss of freedoms to the ordinary citizen at each step. And, of course, with this war on terrorism, we've seen the Homeland Security laws, which have, again, eroded the freedom of the citizens and massively increased the power of the federal government. And this final step, this financial collapse, has really pushed the power of the central government to astronomical levels, and we're losing our freedoms every day during this crisis. The longer they make it drag out, the more freedoms we'll lose, and the more irreversible the process becomes. And that's what's so frightening, is that this can reach a stage at which it's irreversible. Now, ironically, Obama and...
Hold that thought. Sidney Russell is talking about the longer this situation lasts, the more irreversible it comes. So go ahead and pick up the story there, Russell.
Well, we see that both of our candidates, Obama and McCain, are proposing significant intrusion of government into the private sector of the United States economy. The worst, of course, program described is Obama. He wants to massively increase taxes. That is guaranteed to destroy the middle class. There's no question about that. Every objective economist agrees. The other thing he's proposing is massive spending on public works, and he's calling for all young people, according to his own words, will be drafted into federal service, either into the regular military or into public works programs. And they will be sent overseas. He's guaranteed that. That was during an interview that was shown on, of all things, MSNBC. So he is imitating exactly what Franklin Roosevelt's program was that extended the Depression to such a long period of time. The McCain program does some of the same things by infusing money from the Federal Reserve into various segments of the American economy and insisting that government officials sit on the boards of major corporations. Well, that creates the collectivist dream, because what they wanted was government officials sitting on the boards of private enterprise organizations. And so now we have the fusion of government and the free market creating this collectivist system that the intellectuals have been writing about for the past 108 years.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, you disagree, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. During the conference we had this last weekend, Pat Woods, who had written extensively on the Trilateral Commission, had written two books along with Professor Sutton back in the late 1970s and early 1980s, The Trilateralists Over Washington, Part 1 and Part 2. And you can go to his website at the August Review and pull down the complete text of those books. But Patrick Wood was just simply pointing out that the committee that actually introduced the candidacy of Barack Hussein Obama, I mean, there were about six or seven people, and all but one or two of them came from the Trilateral Commission. But don't feel bad. The same thing happened with McCain. They're running candidates on both the Republican and the Democrat Party. You see what a wonderful scam that is. And there are other candidates running for the presidency, like Chuck Baldwin. You'll never see his name mentioned by the media at all. Or if it is, it's with scorn and disdain. And you have to understand that there really are people out there who believe in our Constitution. Congressman Ron Paul. I mean, won 25% of the Republican vote in the state of Idaho. Did you read about that in the newspaper? Of course not. The last thing they want you to know is that there were other candidates, but the establishment had determined they were going to determine who the Republican candidate would be, who the Democrat Party candidate would be, so you would not have a choice. And they don't expect you to have a choice. As David Rockefeller said, and you'll find this on page 405 of his memoirs, for more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents, such as my encounter with Castro, to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we're part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. And if that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. Those are the words of David Rockefeller from his book, Memoirs. It's available from Radio Liberty. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, these people know exactly what they're doing. They do not want the American people to know, and they feel that, of course, that the American people are so stupid they can't understand it at all, even, of course, if it were so obvious. If you read David Rockefeller's book, you'll find that both of his daughters were very good friends of Fidel Castro. Why would the daughters of the leading capitalist in the Western world, or one of the leading capitalists, be friends of Fidel Castro? Why, very simply, our government brought Fidel Castro to power. If you don't believe that, you need to see my interview with the American ambassador to Cuba, Earl T. Smith. We interviewed him about 1980 before he passed away, and he will tell you how the State Department and the CIA brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist. The CIA and the State Department brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist. Why would they do that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we needed an enemy so that we could have ever more control over the American people. They would rally behind the government just as they created the current economic crisis to rally the people behind the government. Well, let's go to Mark, who's calling from Florence, Oregon. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Dr. Stan. Good evening to you and Dr. Blaylock. It's really an honor to speak with two such truth tellers. Your kingpins of truth. And, you know, I'm looking at all of, we're following this blow by blow, day by day, and those of us who have sufficient education through the years, or recently some people catch on real fast, really attribute this at this time in the commentary and the discussion and the analysis of the movements of the so-called globalists, who I would view in the great overall reality, and you've really described, Dr. Blaylock, the human reality of the actual symphonic coordination of all of these global moves through the years and even the centuries, but now it's all been brought up with technology into our current time. And I understand the human aspect of this, but I think that it won't be very long before we start to stress more on the actual satanic aspect of this.
Well, Russell, would you like to touch on that? Because, of course, our contention is, and there's no question, reading the satanic literature, that there is a spiritual component to what's going on today. And, of course, there are powerful spiritual forces at work. And, of course, their goal is the same, for one world government, a one world religion, a one world leader. This is what energizes this whole movement towards the destruction of America and the creation of this world government. Russell, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that the caller is exactly right. If you really look back into the history of this, all of these people were involved in the occult in one way or the other. And James Billington, who wrote the book Fire in the Minds of Men, outlined this in great historical detail in his book. This is a book of about 800, 900 pages. He was the Librarian of Congress under Ronald Reagan. And he wrote this history of the revolutionary faith in the world. And he said at the center of it is a belief in the occult. And many of these people are occultists, particularly coming out of Germany. That's where most of the revolution originated, out of Germany, even the French Revolution. So there's a very strong line to this occult satanic movement. And if you look back in the literature of the 1800s, this was a very powerful movement among intellectuals, particularly intellectuals of the collectivist bent. They were also spiritualists involved in satanic things. Now, if you look at the theosophist Blavatsky's group, and Alice Bailey. Now, I've read quite a few of Alice Bailey's books. She was the leader of the Theosophists. And they also created an organization called the Lucifer Foundation, now called the Lucis Foundation. This organization is one of the major promoters of the United Nations and the One World Government. And in one of her books, she even makes the statement, even though Hitler and Stalin killed a lot of people, we must not forget that their centralization program, in other words, their collectivism, was a good thing and should be emulated and copied. Now, she can say this because she's part of this occult group. Now, the book is filled with occult writings, and the books explain that their real center of their belief is that the true God is Satan. Now, these people are very powerful. I've been told by people high in the government who are on the National Security Council that, in fact, many officials in our government are members of the Theosophical Society and the Lucifer Foundation. These people are well-known names. They have meetings in which they talk about these Luciferian topics. And so, yes, there is a strong connection between this Luciferian philosophy, the one world government, and the belief in collectivism.
So I think you're right on, Mark, and I think that, of course, we try to to bring this up and weave this into an understanding. It's so difficult for people, first of all, to believe that people of great wealth that many people know and respect could actually be working against the best interests of our country, but even more difficult to believe that they are energized by dark spirits or forces. And yet, of course, you can go to the LuciusTrust.org website, read about them from their own words. Certainly, we have, if you get our new syllabus on the oil deception, we include some of the writings of these occultists and what their plans are for the killing off a majority of the world's population, where their people are planted. I mean, they put this material out. You can go to the Rosicrucians website, the Theosophical Society's website. These are all founded in the occult and in Satanism, worshiping the prince of this world. Have anything else to say, Mark, before we let you go?
Just a few words quickly to understand. Of course, the human minions of Satan at the higher levels who actually hold his power for him and whom he controls our world with, in our physical world through the financial power that they have, basically, in the physical realm that they're given by him, they carry this glitz and they carry this glamour and they carry this wealth and they carry, in other words, their own light, which is really darkness, but it comes on as Satan can appear as an angel of light. And they're really just a miniature of their father in hell. But I would be curious, Dr. Blaylock, I'm going to sign off after this question, and I certainly appreciate all of your time and effort. How close would we be in a year time frame, because I think we're down to years now and not decades or a decade even, to the actual assumption of power on the world stage where the whole world recognizes one man, the Antichrist, as the world ruler, the one world ruler? How close are we to actually seeing that? Because that happening actually begins the Great Tribulation. And we can really read about the Great Tribulation itself in great detail in the scriptures. But I don't believe people are aware enough at this point how close we are to the actual assumption of power by the Antichrist, when our souls will be put in direct jeopardy of eternal damnation if we accept this economic identification. But thank you very much, and God bless.
God bless you, too. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Well, I would never make a prediction of the time, but I would say probably in most of our lifetime we're going to see this because it's moving so rapidly. I was shocked, and Dr. Stan was shocked, at how fast this is moving. Most of our friends that have been following this cannot believe how rapidly events are taking place and that these people are now openly talking about these things. You know, if you go to your local bookstores, look what has the longest shelf in the bookstore. It's studies about the occult. It's Wiccan witch studies. Look at your movies. There's so many movies about it. Look on television. There's television promoting it as normal and something to be desired, that these are good witches, these are good forces. So we're seeing such rapid appearance of these things and mainstreaming of these thoughts that I think that certainly in a short period of time, how long I don't know, we're going to see these events unfold.
In fact, really what's so interesting is that many Christian, so-called Christian bookstores will be actually carry occult literature, New Age literature, the things written by these people who have infiltrated the Christian religion, of course, are trying to subvert it from within. And certainly I remember we had a local Christian bookstore right here in Santa Cruz. And if you wanted to get a New Age book, well, you went to that Christian bookstore. You could always get at the New Age bookstore, which we have down in Pacific Avenue. But, you know, the Christian bookstores would carry them as well. Why? To subvert the beliefs of the Christians. Well, we've got Mike on the line. Mike, does you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Can I make a comment before that?
Sure, go ahead.
Real quick, for the previous discussion, I don't believe we should be watching the calendar. We should be watching the seasons.
All right, I think that's a good idea.
And one of those at one season is the global Babylonian system we should be watching for that's growing. And the other is the deception, the worldwide deception in the hearts of men.
Right.
And we should also be aware of the distinction between Lucifer and Satan. These people don't speak of Satan. They speak of Lucifer quite openly. I Albert Pike writes about Lucifer, not Satan.
Right, you're right. Okay, anything else?
Well, Lucifer is Satan in the pre-fallen state. That's what they're after. They say that Lucifer never fell. But now, my question is, Stan, I want to raise the point you often make about nations that have gone into fiat currency and have not survived. But I wanted to raise the idea that would be because they had enemy nations to conquer them. And the difference now is this system, this global, whatever you want to call it, monstrosity, is not going to have an enemy to conquer.
And what is the point there? That
well, I'm
in other words, you think the fiat money system would survive?
Well, that's a distinction that would allow the system to survive. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that they people who are manipulating this whole thing want it to fall. They want, of course, to get all this money from the American taxpayers, and in the name of fighting, of course, what's going on is like fighting a fire with gasoline. We are in the problems we are today because they corrupted our currency. How are we going to fight what's going on? Well, we're going to corrupt our currency even further,
yeah.
Creating more in the way of fiat money. It is because the enemy is not from without. The enemy is from within.
Yeah.
We don't need an enemy outside to destroy us with the fiat money system. We have an enemy within who wants to destroy us. And they're working at the highest levels of our government. They're working the Federal Reserve System. They're working in the U.S. Treasury. These are part of this elite who created the problem. Why should we think that they would be able to solve the problem they created? I mean, what logic would there be to give them power and money when they've got us into this current situation? Anything else, Mike, before
well,
we let you go?
My question was not the United States standing or falling. It's the global system that would also be based on a fiat currency.
Right.
That would be able to stand because there will be no enemy for it.
Well, but I think that they want to destroy it, Mike. What do you think, Russell?
Well, they want to centralize the United States to bring about the world government, but as far as the fiat money is a world money, they can restructure it anytime they want to bring it back to a lower level, which other governments have done. So there's this constant restructuring. The reason they don't
Hold that thought for just a moment. Go right ahead, Russell.
The reason that they don't do it is because there would be an outcry by the public every time you restructure the money. This happened during colonial times when the British...
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866
our Lucifer. And that he was wrongly thrown out of heaven by the bad God, and that the Christians are worshiping the bad God. So they openly worship, you know, what the Christians consider Satan, but they refer to as Lucifer. So they're Luciferian in their own words. So I think we need to make that important distinction. But, you know, all of this is coming about because we spent probably the last 70 years destroying the moral fiber of the United States. As Stan said, we've taken prayer out of the schools, but we've also taken prayer out of people's heart. We've taken the religion out of their heart. We've destroyed their spirituality. We've destroyed their faith in God and in creation. With this this Darwinian obsession, they've convinced a whole generation or two generations of young people that, in fact, to believe in creation by a God is nonsense, that science has proven that, in fact, life came from just perchance occurrences. Well, you know, those of us who study science in great detail, particularly cellular biology, laugh at such notions. There's no way that life was created perchance. And any scientist who's objective would have to say the Darwin idea is a defunct idea and sheer nonsense, that there's evidence everywhere that, in fact, we were created.
Oh, I'm going to have to interrupt you there because this is the time when I need our listeners to know that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Because there has never been a time in our nation's history when there is more need of getting the truth out to the American people. So if you'd like to become part of our team and help us get the truth out about how this whole financial crisis was created, and we'll be writing about this in the upcoming newsletters and documented for you, it's right now. We need your help. If you'd like to join us, why, you know, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to document the fact that, of course, so many of these socialist and communist ideals were funded by our great tax-exempt foundations, and how these great families, Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, wanted to bring about socialism so they could extend their control over the people and destroy our Constitution. Probably one of the best books we carry is called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. Foundations, Their Power and Influence. Then you should read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. To understand the spiritual component of what's going on, let me suggest my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. To understand the, and actually document this in more detail, let me suggest our talk on the planned police state. It's available on DVD. But going along with that, of course, is our syllabus on the planned police state, and you'll actually read the writings of the people on the other side. And then, of course, if you want to get into the background of what's happening financially, you really need to get our pamphlet on the financial meltdown, our pamphlet on the history of money, my talk on the financial tsunami. It's a couple of years old, but we told you then a couple of years ago exactly what was going to happen. And if you didn't make your preparations at that time, I'm sure many of you have lost a great deal of what you spent your whole life working to accumulate. So, and then, of course, we carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. And if you read those things, you'll know more than most politicians, certainly more than most economists. You need to get the information. You need to help us get it out. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com. And, of course, then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. In studio with us this evening is Dr. Russell Blaylock, who is out here speaking at the annual Radio Liberty Conference, and certainly you'll want to get the CD that will give you the actual text of the 5 talks that were given. We hope to have those in a couple of weeks, and down the line we'll have the videos available, DVDs available. You need to get the information. It was a wonderful, wonderful seminar, and certainly we had Senator Dr. Blaylock talking about vaccines. Of course, what most people don't understand is that the vaccines are not safe and effective, but they can't let the American people know that they're destroying the lives of so many children. And then Patrick Wood talking on finances, Joanna Michelson talking about the spiritual battle we're engaged in, coming from the personal experiences when she, of course, worked as a medium in the supernatural, and then Michael Shaw's excellent talk on sustainable development, and, of course, on Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century, which you've never been allowed to hear about, although, of course, it's published by the United Nations, by the elitists. But the last thing they want is for the American people to know what's really going on. So all of these talks are so important. Well, Russell, why don't you go ahead? We've been talking about, of course, the background of the financial problems that plague our nation today. And the fact that, of course, contrary to most people are told, everything that they are doing in Washington, D.C., everything that Congress is voting for, everything the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve are doing is only going to perpetuate the problem and, of course, lead eventually to the destruction of our monetary system. Go right ahead, Russell.
Well, yes, and what we've outlined is that, in fact, if you closely examine the events of the last 3 or 4 weeks, you can't help but come to the conclusion that this was not by accident, that this was by design. You would have to conclude otherwise that our leaders are so inept, so intellectually depraved, that they can't understand the simplest thing. For instance, Congress in 1977, under Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, passing the Communities Reinvestment Act. This act was destined to produce a disaster, and then it was further strengthened under the Clinton administration. What it did is it suddenly exposed us to a new idea, and that is that home ownership is an entitlement. And, of course, all entitlements mean someone has to provide it, and the provider is the taxpayer, saying that everybody in the United States, every soul, whether or not they can afford it or not, deserves a house, and therefore it is the job of the federal government to see to it that they get it. And that's exactly what the Communities Reinvestment Act did. It forced the banks, by law, to make bad loans to people that they knew could not honor these loans. Now, this is not the fault of the people that took out the loans, necessarily, but it's the fault of the government that knew that if you offered this to them, they were going to take it. And so you told them, here, you can have this beautiful home. We're not even going to require you to make a down payment, and we're going to give you an extremely low interest rate in the beginning, and then gradually the interest rate will rise after you've owned the home for a while. So what happened is, of course, the people couldn't afford the payment on the house because the housing prices began to drop because they were badly overinflated, again, by government policy. And so the people began to foreclose on their loans. Well, unfortunately, all these loans were bundled and bought up by the giant investment companies and investment banks. So they were holding literally billions and billions of dollars, trillions of dollars worth of these bad loans. And, of course, when they collapsed, this severely strained the debt structure of all of these financial institutions, such as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and AIG, Bear Stearns, on and on. And, of course, when they begin to fail because of all these bad loans, then here comes the very same government that engineered the collapse. They, oh, we're the answer. We're going to pump $850 billion into the savings.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Dr. Stan, our guest, Russell Blaylock. Russell, please go ahead.
So they take the $850 billion. This is the very same government that engineered this financial collapse. And say, we're going to save these giant financial institutions because they're so vital to the American economy and to international economy that they have to be saved. Well, the economists that were objective and had experience in this area said, this is a dramatic mistake. It's not going to produce the consequences for which it's intended. It's going to bring about further disaster of the economy and a prolongation of the problem, that what we need is a sudden and massive correction. The people who had good opinion and knew their economics said, you should let these organizations collapse, let smaller institutions buy up their assets, let this correct. It will take about a year, 2 years at the most, and then the economy will be back on a sound footing. But they weren't about to let that happen because they engineered this in the first place. Now, what was the Federal Reserve's role in all of this? Well, Federal Reserve makes its money by buying debt. You can find this very well explained in great detail in Griffith's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, in which he explains how the Federal Reserve system was created and how it works. But they buy up debt. And I noticed that people thought it was kind of strange that AIG, when it got in trouble, they could have paid off the debt at $35 billion on that Thursday. But instead, they waited over the weekend. And then the next thing we know, the bill was $85 billion. Well, they had some of the financial correspondents on the major network cable TV saying they just didn't understand this. How could people at Federal Reserve have been so foolish that now they have more than doubled the bill for the bailout of AIG? Well, it's because the larger the debt, the more money they make. Because that $850 billion that they're loaning to the American government is not real money. It's phony money. They just have it printed. It's not backed by anything. So it costs them nothing to supply the $850 billion. But the interest that's paid on that money is real money. It's taxpayer money. And so the interest is being paid to these private carteled bankers. And this is private cartel bankers. And they're making a windfall off of this bailout, which is going to end up being $2 trillion. The other response of it is you're pouring in over $1 trillion, and we said almost $2 trillion when it's all over.
Hold that thought, Russell. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Russell is simply pointing out that it is to the advantage of the Federal Reserve Board to have these debts as high as possible rather than solving the AIG problem, you know, when they could have done it for $35 billion, they let it get up to $85 billion, and now closing in on $125 billion. But the reason, of course, they want to do this is because the Federal Reserve System makes money by issuing money. It simply says the Treasury print up the money, it lends the money out, and then, of course, it requires debt. And, of course, then the debt goes back to enrich the bankers. This is how the system works. But go right ahead, Russell.
Yes, and again, it's important to remember that the interest on that debt is paid in real money. It's paid with taxpayer money. So they're loaning money that's phony, that is not backed by anything, that costs these bankers nothing, and they're paid back interest that's real money. So what is the result of this sudden infusion of $1 trillion to $2 trillion of this fiat money into the economy? Well, every economist that is a free market economist who understands economics says, well, the response is a drastic increase in prices throughout society. This is the cause for inflation, too much money being flooded out into the economy. Well, we already had inflation rising progressively over the last decade. Now suddenly we have a massive infusion of money, and it's not going to be long before we start experiencing a significant rise in the inflation rate, which means everyone's going to pay this inflation tax, because inflation is a tax. Everyone has to pay it in higher prices for everything that they buy and purchase. And, of course, who is hit worse by this inflation tax? The middle class, particularly the lower middle class, poor people, and the people on fixed incomes, because everything they buy is going to cost a lot more, and they're going to be on these fixed incomes making less money. Well, this is something that has been repeatedly done throughout the American history since 1913, when the Federal Reserve System was created. Now, the ironic thing is, Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve System, recently admitted that, in fact, the 1929 Depression was caused by the Federal Reserve System itself. And he apologized for it. Well, he may apologize for it, but the people who actually engineered the Depression in 1929 knew that it was going to cause it, because Congressman McFadden had testified in great detail that if they passed this act, that no longer would the United States be safe, no longer was it freedoms to be safe, because these financial banks, these private cartel banks, would then hold the United States at ransom and could destroy it at its will.
Now, I think it's important for people to understand Congressman McFadden was the chairman of the House Banking Committee back in the 1930s. And, of course, when he went out and talked about how there was no money here, and for American industry, and that we were shipping money over to Hitler's Germany and Stalin's Russia. And, of course, they tried to kill him on several occasions. There were several unsuccessful attempts on his life, and I don't know if they finally did kill him or not, but people have never heard of Congressman McFadden, who was a banker, became a congressman, became the chairman of the House Banking Committee, trying to warn the American people during the 1930s that it was the Federal Reserve System that was contracting the money supply and creating the problem. Now, Ben Bernanke has said, look, we understand what happened. That's not going to happen again, because we have a printing press. We do not have the restraints on adding money to the society, so we can actually print all the money we want to. And then, quoting somebody else, he made the remark that if we have to, why, we can just dump the money out of helicopters. Well, they don't. They're not using helicopters now. They've just given our banks, you know, $125 billion, and they're talking about giving $25 billion to the automotive industry, and they're talking about $600 million to the commercial paper industry, and probably a comparable amount to the money market funds. And, you know, $100 billion here, you know, about $600 billion there, $750 billion elsewhere. Pretty soon you're talking about real money, aren't you, Russell?
That's right. And that's been the joke, is that we're dealing in not billions of dollars, but hundreds of billions of dollars and even trillions of dollars. And so the economists, as I say, that are objective, who look at this, say if you pump $1 trillion to $2 trillion into the economy, that's fiat money, fake money, unbacked currency, you're going to certainly deepen the depression. destroy the lives of literally tens of millions of people, maybe the entire middle class. You're going to further impoverish the lower class. And, of course, the response is going to be, we need the government to save us. And so they're going to call for public works program, just like they did in the Depression of 1929. What that guaranteed is that the downturn of the economy is going to last for a very long period. For instance, in the 1929 Depression, it drug it out over 12 years. Well, the economists, historians who've looked back at this said, well, if they'd have left everything alone, within 1 year, the Depression would have been over and the economy would have recovered. But because of government action, raising taxes, which both Hoover and Franklin Roosevelt did, and because of increased regulation, and because of public works spending by the federal government, a massive amount, they drug this depression and made the economy a basket case for over a decade. We're doing the very same thing again. Both of our presidential candidates, but especially Obama, is calling for tax increases on people who create the most jobs in this country. They're calling for massive public spending. Obama is calling for all young people to be drafted either into the military or into public service. Now, apparently, a lot of these young people who are all excited about the Obama presidency don't understand that he's saying that he will send them overseas to some very nasty places, and that was his word. They'll end up being in some very nasty countries. Well, this is, according to him, every young person in the United States of America. So this is all part of the plan, because they've always wanted to put people in national service. As you remember, Hitler did it with his youth corps. The Soviets did it with their young pioneers. It was always an idea to draft the young people into the service of the government. And now we have major politicians who are saying, we need to draft the young people into the service of the government. And this movement is known as collectivism. Now, I've been reading a tremendous amount of literature written by collectivist intellectuals for quite some time. And when you read this collectivist literature, which really had its heyday or coming into fruition in 1880, particularly with the writings of Edward Bellamy, he wrote a book called Looking Back, in which he predicted much of what we're seeing today. And what he said is that we need to have a change in the American economic system and political system, where we collectivize the power in the federal government, centralize it, and that we scientifically plan society so we control the lives of all the people who live in the United States. And then we'll create a world government in which we'll pattern it in a very similar structure. Now, there's an interesting book written by a collectivist called Socialism and the International Economic Order. Now, this is a capsulized plan of how it works. It said the internal structure of a collectivist state is comparable to a pyramid in which the unquestioning submission to a single will is an absolute necessity, a will that governs the most deep-seated foundations of the human existence of hundreds of millions of people. And they go on to say, because state planning is identical with unified control, it is self-evident that this control is to include all factors and resources of production available within the political frontiers of the existing nation states, which means absolute control by an elite over your lives and every aspect of your lives. Private property is to be abolished. And we're seeing now a number of federal programs, including the sustained development idea, in which private property is being taken. Various things that sound very innocent, like wetland legislation, where private property is being taken. We're seeing the heritage parks, where the United Nations is taking over our national parks and declaring them World Heritage Sites, confiscating the property of the United States. Now, an intimate part of this collectivist system is the destruction, first, of state sovereignty, which happened in the 1950s and 60s and continues to this day, where the states have almost no rights now, to the destruction of national sovereignty, which ironically was very secret 30 or 40 years ago. You never heard that publicly discussed. Now we're hearing these collectivists, these leftists, talking about this on national television, major programs. They're proudly talking about we need to start removing American sovereignty and move into a global one-world government. So it's no longer a secret. The reason they're not keeping it secret any longer, because they feel that their final dream is within their grasp, that in the next short period, they will have completed their dream of creating this collectivist government. Now, the people who wrote about the collectivist idea, these intellectuals, are some of the most important writers in the 20th century. The problem is people have been ignoring what they've written. It was always said that the reason people didn't know what Hitler was going to do is because they didn't read Mein Kampf. He told what he was going to do if he came to power. The same thing about the collectivist intellectual literature. People are not reading it because it tells in great detail the plans for the United States, and they're almost in the final stages of completing that plan.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Russ Blaylock. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there are people who have a different worldview. They hate freedom. And behind that are the very powerful spirits or forces that motivate these people, or they control them. Some are actually knowing what they're doing, others are not. How can we say that? Why, we read their literature, specifically the workings of the spiritual hierarchy. Make a copy of that available to anybody who calls us. 1-800-544-8927. Russell, go right ahead.
Well, part of this collectivism, and a very important part.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
A I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Of our Constitution, as both, of course, John McCain and Barack Hussein Obama want, as the people behind them want, because both of them are, of course, being backed by members of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, an elite group that really run both political parties. Once they have succeeded in undermining the Constitution, why, there will be no barrier to their establishing a police state in America. They want to regulate everybody. And, of course, in the name of fighting with the wicked terrorists, the wicked Osama bin Laden, who incidentally was funded or worked very closely with the CIA all during the 1980s, there and during the Afghan War, and of course, which we never tried to capture, if he escaped to Pakistan, you know, in December of 2001. Why didn't we follow him to Pakistan? Why did we go to war with Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden and then let him go away? Why didn't we go right into Pakistan and capture him? Because it had nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. It had to do with taking away your freedom. And until you understand that, they use the threat of terrorism to get the American people to go along with ever more government control and police state techniques. And if you study all of almost every terrorist trial that we've had in the United States has involved agent provocateurs hired by the money and given hundreds of thousands of dollars to actually create a terrorist movement, of course, and then record some poor, stupid Muslim young man who was quite willing to say, oh, well, Akbar, Allah is the greatest and we're going to kill the Americans, but they're being egged on by the government who is actually financing this. In fact, the last trial that they had before this 466 that's coming out, the jury on two occasions refused to convict the people of the major crimes because it was a government operation. They're all government operations, but what it's about? It's about taking away your freedom, ladies and gentlemen, in the name of fighting those wicked terrorists who are going to attack us any day. Aren't they? Go right ahead, Russell.
Well, that's the basis of all of this, is creating a crisis. If you follow the literature on the increasing power of government, almost all the writers, historical writers, says that the number one way to increase the power of government is create a crisis or take advantage of a crisis. For instance, in the United States, most historians now say the change in the United States government, where the government became very powerful and more centralized, was the Civil War. After the Civil War, the federal government attained powers that were not allowed by the Constitution. If you know your history, you'll remember that the states refused to ratify the Constitution until it had written into it a protection of state sovereignty. They said, we will not join unless the sovereignty of our states are protected. That's the 10th Amendment, which says that the powers given to the federal government by the state must be willingly given, and no other powers can be taken from the state except those that the states are willing to donate to the federal government. Well, the 10th Amendment has been completely subverted since the Civil War. With World War I, we have further erosion. World War II, even greater erosions of those freedoms. So that with each war, with each crisis, the longer the crisis, the more of our freedoms have disappeared, the greater the strengthening of the central government, the greater the strengthening of federal courts over our lives, the greater increase in bureaucratic rules which act as courts. They're not legislated. but they act as legislated laws which can put you in prison and take your life. So we've seen this increase with every crisis and every war. Now, the greatest expanse of federal government power in the United States has just occurred with this financial collapse. Suddenly, we see not only the taking over of some of the largest financial institutions in the United States, but the government says that the agreement, if you accept this bailout money, is that we will serve on the boards of your corporation. We will become the leaders of corporations, and we'll make corporate decisions. Well, that linkage between corporations and government has a name. It's called collectivism. In Mussolini's Italy, it was called corporatism. So we're seeing a move toward this corporatism, this collectivism in the United States over the last several weeks that is moved at a tremendous pace, far exceeding all the other wars and crises that the United States has experienced.
And, of course, the whole idea that people justify, well, we've got to do something. My goodness, you know, if we don't do something, why, there's going to be a crisis. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a crisis. And what we've done is allowed the people who created the crisis, we've given them literally hundreds of billions of dollars to create more of a crisis. We'll be back in just a moment. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. We've got Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, for Dr. Blaylock. I just kind of like to reverse a little bit and go back to the Glass-Steagall Act, which President Clinton apparently dismantled. You know, I'd like to either talk about that in a little bit and explain to me exactly what that was all about.
Right, that's a very legitimate question. Would you like to just mention why the Glass-Steagall Act was passed back in during the 1930s, and why it was so important that it was removed in what was about 1999 that they repealed it, somewhere in there? Maybe it was 2002. Russell, you want to comment on that?
I'm not really versed in the Glass-Steagall Act. I really couldn't give you any details on it. If you have some details, share it with me, and I'll give you my analysis of it.
Raymond, let me just quickly say that the Glass-Steagall Act, the most important thing, is it prevented investment banks. And, of course, ordinarily commercial banks have to have a certain amount of money on reserves. You know, in other words, you're going to lend out $100, you've got to have $10 of reserves.
Right.
Investment banks don't need that. Commercial banks need the $10 to lend $100. Investment banks could lend out all they wanted with no reserves. And so you had the companies like Bear Stearns that had $1 in deposit and $35 lent out. Well, that's fine. You can make fabulous profits lending massive amounts of money you don't have. But what happens if suddenly the economy turns and people, of course, suddenly can't pay you back? And, of course, you can make 35 times that dollar, you know, but, of course, when it turns against you, suddenly you're going to be losing $35 for every dollar you've got let out. And that's what brought on the demise of Bear Stearns, and certainly of Lehman Brothers and the other investment banks. And that is why I think we had a number of investment banks that were down just to, well, almost all gone today. In fact, the banks have pleaded with the government to actually allow them to become commercial banks so they can borrow large sums of money from the government, and they've given up the ability to lend all they wanted. Does that answer your question?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And so, they're all becoming commercial banks again.
It's becoming very clear to me that they deregulated so many things during the late 1990s. And
but it was all in preparation. They knew exactly what they were doing. And anyway, thanks very much for calling, Ray.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock. We're going to be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest in the studio is Dr. Russell Blaylock, who was kind enough to come out for our conference, and you'll certainly want to hear the talk that he gave. But our telephone number, if you'd like to call and have a question about, I mean, how we got into this mess, which was, of course, I believe, carefully orchestrated. Why? Because they've wanted to destroy our economic system so they could create a new world economic system. Watch the media. You're hearing increasingly about the new international economic system. Oh, everybody in the world is calling for a new international monetary system so we don't have this problem happen again. And of course, I believe that's why it was created, to create an international crisis, international monetary system. And of course, I believe eventually a new international currency, and with that will come the demise of the dollar and the destruction of the life savings of everybody out there. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to get people listening, get them educated, and get them involved before they destroy the foundation of our nation. There's no better way to destroy a nation than to destroy its currency, and they're in the process of doing it. Russell, pick up the story.
Well, I would quote one of the quotes from the international banker Rothschild, which is certainly one of the most powerful and wealthy bankers in the history of international banking. And he said, if I can control the currency, I care less who makes the laws, because he realized just how important it was. Now, I'm talking about regulation, deregulation. What these people do, because they control so much of banking and investment, is they can selectively deregulate the things that they know will bring about destruction, and they can overregulate things that do the same thing. So it's the ability to fine-tune regulation, deregulation, that brings about these crises. So it's not just the idea that you're deregulating. It's the fact that what you deregulate, if you deregulate something you know that's going to bring about a disaster, then you're pushing them in that direction. And then the Federal Reserve pours in a lot of available cash and credit, encouraging you to make massive loans that they know that when the economic conditions change, you're not going to be able to pay back. And then that necessitates the very same organization that made that money and credit available, the Federal Reserve, to act as the organization that's going to bail you out. So they manipulate it from top to bottom through regulations, through easy credit, through printing fiat money. And they're the orchestra playing the music that's leading to the disaster. And, of course, as Stan says, what happens is then the public sees the disaster, and all the pundits and talking heads say, oh, we're in a financial collapse. We need an emergency relief by the federal government. If they don't, all of our markets will collapse, and it'll be the end of the U.S. economy. So they're pushing us in that direction. They're pushing us to do something that is going to destroy freedom. And, of course, the real move here is not just manipulating money to make big payments for these private bankers, but it's to move the United States very quickly into collectivism. And that's the danger, because you have to remember, if you look at this intellectual literature, many of these private bankers were the writers of this intellectual literature collectivism. They wanted it for America, and they knew that by controlling the finances of America and the currency of America, they could force the collectivization of our government and the loss of American freedom.
And I think it really, of course, another major thing that was done to destroy our society was to allow the development of something called derivatives or credit default swaps. And basically, these were insurance policies on the issuance of bonds. In other words, you bought bonds from a company, and you wanted to be sure that, of course, the company would refund the bonds, would pay the interest on it, so you bought insurance. But, of course, they didn't call it insurance, because if they called it insurance, it would mean that the companies had to have reserves. But if you called it a credit default swap or a derivative, it didn't need any reserves. And, of course, this came about because there was the man, he was the chairman of the Goldman Sachs, and it was about 2002, he went before a group of course, congressmen and pleaded with them not to insist that the people who wrote these derivatives contracts, these insurance policies, have any reserves. And he said, you know, we don't need reserves. We don't want to regulate this. We want a free market system. This man's name was Henry Paulson. the man who today is the Secretary of the Treasury, who just got billions of dollars to give to his friends. They created this problem so they could get the money, they could reward their friends, but even more than that, it's much more than money. It is a matter of changing the monetary structure of America. Henry Paulson's a member of the elitist Council on Foreign Relations, part of these little group of people who control our country. And remember, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations came from a secret society, according to Professor Quigley on pages 951 and 952 of his book, Tragedy and Hope. The Council on Foreign Relations is the front for the Roundtable Group. What is the Roundtable? It was the front for the Association of Helpers, which was the front for the Association of the Elite, which was the front for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created in 1891. And it was founded in the occult. And certainly Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner both came out of Masonry. William Stead, the third member of this triumvirate, actually was into theosophy and spiritualism. All of these ideas, of course, the people they picked up subsequently and came from this Society for Spiritual Evaluation. I've forgotten the exact name of the organization, but it was where these people were studying the occult, the supernatural. And Society for Psychical Research was the title, was the name of it. So this is what you're never going to hear today. Nobody will tell you that the CFR was a front for a secret society, and it still is. And here's Henry Paulson, member of the CFR, part of the elite, back in 2002, creating the problem that now he's going to solve. Go right ahead, Russell.
Well, it's also interesting that Goldman Sachs chairman, back in the earlier period, was one of the intellectual writers on collectivism. So, here we see that this so-called free market organization is in fact a promoter of collectivism in the United States. So now it's ironic that the Secretary of Treasury is also a board member of Goldman Sachs. And he's helping engineer the very same thing through this financial crisis.
Now, who was this? Was it somebody from Goldman Sachs who was writing on collectivism?
Yeah, I've forgotten his name, but he was the chairman of Goldman Sachs at the time. And he was part of the group of collectivist intellectuals who were writing to promote collectivism for the United States.
And what people don't understand is many of our major financiers have been pushing collectivism and are using their positions in the banking to do this. Why would they want to do that? Because with collectivism, you have a small ruling elite who control the populace. Once you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've got Joe calling from Michigan. Hi, Joe. What part of Michigan do you live in?
I'm in Fowlerville, Michigan.
No. All right, fine. But do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, a couple. for both of you, I guess. You know, I've adhered to this thought mentality that the dollar is going to collapse. I've heard about this for years. You know, I want to get your take on it, your guest's take on it. Relative to the fact that, the dollar is just surging stronger than it's ever surged presently.
Right.
Also, the question that I want to ask amongst all of this is, the one that's entertained my mind is, you know, I know you're of the mentality that the dollar is going to collapse, and I believe that as well, but when it does collapse, what is going to happen to the other currencies in your mind?
All right, Russell, what are your thoughts?
Well, certainly the other currencies will be in trouble except the currencies that are backed by gold. And I think there's still some countries that back their currency with gold. Those that are based on the dollar are going to be in trouble.
Like the major currencies, I'm talking, you know, the seven major currencies.
I think there's going to be a precipitous fall across the board. But, this is sort of a repeat of what happened in colonial times. Once they have to replace that bad currency with good currency, it's going to deepen all the economic problems. But Ron Paul talks about this. It's going to happen. It has to happen. You just can't keep this fiat money machine going forever. It's just like the housing market. Eventually, the bubble's got to burst.
And, of course, basically all of the currencies of the world are fiat currencies, and I think they're all eventually going to be destroyed before this thing is over. And certainly China is beginning to accumulate some gold. Why? Because they want to have a solid currency. You might find out down the line that the Chinese currency will be a lot better than American ones. Now, Jimmy Rogers, and you can go up to our website at RadioLiberty.com and scroll down through the other videos. We have a section on videos, other videos, and there we actually have an interview with Jimmy Rogers, a very smart man. And he was with George Soros. I don't think he is, carries the baggage that Soros does. I don't think that Jimmy Rogers is a traitor to America as George Soros is, because George Soros has financed both Obama and John McCain. Of course, we can't let the American people know that. But basically, Jimmy Rogers has got his money in Swiss francs and in Japanese yen. But he thinks that all the currencies are in trouble. And these are simply only temporarily going to do well. Japanese yen has increased tremendously here. It went up about 6%, something like that, since he has invested in it. But all of the currencies are in trouble. I think eventually they're all going to collapse. That's why we're going to need a new international monetary system and a new world currency. And
that's why I used to think that this whole thought of the Amero is more of a, you know, Mexico, America, and Canada, that was kind of what was going to happen. But as I look at it, I think it's not going to be that. I think it's moving more toward they would replace it with a global currency, like you're saying.
Well, we're just going to have to wait and see. What are your thoughts, Russell?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is a move to create a global currency. Because a lot of things, what they do, just like with American foreign policy, what they're trying to demonstrate with our military is that the United States is no longer able to conduct the defense posture by itself. It needs a world army. And that world army is going to need a world tax. Well, the same thing with currency. If they can make all the currencies collapse and create an international monetary collapse, then it's going to demand a world currency to replace it. And they say the problem is we have all these currencies in competition and trying to balance it and find the proper currency to be the leader. So this way we'll have a world currency and we no longer have that problem.
Lastly, I just want to say, to even get more detailed on this, you've had to get that guest Lindsey Williams on a lot. You know, I was listening to him, and I mean, everything the guy said has come to pass in the last 4 months.
Except the fact that John McCain's going to be elected. And remember, Lindsey wasn't saying it was going to happen. He was saying that he was told by this gentleman called Mr. X that it was going to happen.
Right, in terms of the price of oil.
Well, you're absolutely right. Every other prediction he made is actually come to pass or is in the process. He talked about Dubai. And Dubai's having real problems. He talked about the economy of the Arab nations. And here in just a few weeks, they're having real problems. He talked about the fall in the price of oil. He talked certainly, about the fact that our government was going to try to replace the government of Iran. We're just going to have to wait and see. But he predicted this collapse of the economy. And told me what he said. That was that Mr. X had said that this terrible thing was going to happen to the American economy and it was going to go on for a long period of time.
Right.
And I think that all those things were accurate.
But when he said that when oil gets to $50, according to what the oil tycoon said, then the collapse of the dollar is going to occur. And that was like my final question. Do you think that that's going to happen?
Well, we'll find out. Basically, Lindsey's going to be our guest on Thursday evening in the same hour. Okay.
Thank you so much for your time.
God bless. Do you have any thoughts at all on any of the things that Joe was asking?
I agree. And these things, we just have to wait and see. But certain things are set up for the collapse of the dollar and the collapse of the world's individual currencies. And I think they're going to initiate a world currency, and I think they're going to initiate a world tax. And I think they're going to push for a global military force, a police force. And we're going to be pushed into a world court. You know, they already tried to have a world court adjudicate in the United States borders, I think, in a Texas case. So it's not going to be long before we're going to be convinced that we need a world court that has jurisdiction in the United States, which will completely negate the U.S. Constitution, because under a world court, there's no Bill of Rights, there's no appeal to the U.S. Constitution.
And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We just have a few minutes before the hour is up. But, of course, what we're trying to get is for people to understand that nothing happens simply by accident. I mean, there are powerful forces out there working behind the scenes that have an agenda. Sydney, if you read Foreign Affairs magazine, as I do, last year one of their commentators, one of their people, wrote an article in Foreign Affairs magazine, the theoretical journal of the government, of the secret government of the United States, and he was talking about the necessity of a global currency that would be privately issued. Not issued by government, but privately issued and backed by gold. And then, of course, our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy sent me an article about that some years ago, a woman who worked for the Rockefellers had made a public statement that the Rockefellers were, you know, you see these companies, you know, these central banks are selling off 50 tons of gold or 25 tons of gold, and of course, this woman had made this public statement that the Rockefellers were buying it up. She knew that. You'd never guess what happened. She just fell out of a window and died very shortly thereafter she made that statement. Do things like that really happen in the world? Well, I believe they do happen. And I believe you better not tell the public the truth, that there really are people out there who want a global currency backed by gold privately issued by people of great wealth. And certainly the Rockefellers are by far the richest family in America. And if you believe that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are the wealthiest people in America, why, you've been reading Time magazine too long. Russell, do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, I think more than any time in American history, we need to be alert. We need to increase our prayers. We need to turn to God and our religion, because that's really our only hope. It's not going to be in man's institutions. That's not going to save us.
Amen to that. And, of course, remember, we are involved in this spiritual battle. It's being played on a political, ideological, and cultural, and economic, and financial, and educational battlefield, but it is a spiritual battle. And believe me, many people have acquired their wealth because, of course, they've given themselves over to the dark side. If you haven't seen the DVD, they sold their souls for rock and roll. Takes you into the background of the music industry. You need to get that DVD, because exactly the same thing is happening in the financial world.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family. from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
People in understanding of what's going on today. And that is, of course, we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, educational, financial battlefield. And right now, of course, the financial battlefield looms largest. But we are going to see, I believe, dramatic changes in America. I think we're going to see the destruction of the value of our currency and, of course, ever-increasing loss of our freedom. And so we do hope many of you will want to get some of the books we talk about, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which will take you into the background of how the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie Foundation have been pushing socialism for years. That's the Foundations, Their Power and Influence, based upon the Rees Committee investigation of the Great Tax Exempt Foundations. You need to get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. You need to get our 4-tape set of The Secret Government, or our 4-tape set on secret societies, or our secret government special. All of these things are available. You need to get the information so that you can be effective in this battle, because it's up to you to reach other people. And I think that more so than any time in the 46 years I've been involved in this battle, people are going to begin to get to the point where they're willing to listen. Our job is to raise questions in their mind. If you can get them to listen to our program, when they start listening, they'll be sure we're crazy, and before long, they'll be afraid that we're not. And this is the transformation that comes when people suddenly hear the truth. And we've raised the questions of why would the very people who've created this whole economic problem be given the money to solve the problem, when, of course, everything they're doing is just simply prolonging the problem. You're not going to solve the problem by throwing money at it. You need to get back to a solid economic system. You need to get it back to an asset-backed currency rather than a fiat money currency where they can expand the monetary supply at their whim. And, of course, you need to help the American people understand that they stand to lose everything they've worked their whole life for. And perhaps, a fear is not a bad motive. People seeing what's going to happen, realizing how hard they've worked. I've talked to people who've lost almost half of the value of their pension fund as, of course, the level of stocks has fallen, and some people have lost their entire life savings in one or another scam. All of us certainly have this desire. We'd love to get rich. But, ladies and gentlemen, none of us are going to get rich in the current situation. Because even if you did amass a great number of dollars, those dollars have nothing behind them. They can be destroyed literally overnight. You could wake up sometime and you'd be penniless. They could destroy the value of their currency literally overnight. This is why you need to get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island. You need to get the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. You need to get our talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus that goes with it. It's a couple of years old, but the information there is as sound as it ever was. You said you needed to get our pamphlets on the history of money and the financial meltdown. You need to begin studying what's going on. And then you need to help us educate others. Learn about the Glass-Steagall Act that was actually repealed in 1999 that played an important part in this. And then, of course, the part that Henry Paulson played in, of course, discouraging the use of any, of course, control over the derivatives and calling them derivatives in sense of instead of insurance policies, so there'd be no money to back the insurance that was being sold. And then, of course, the rating services, Moody and the other Standard & Poor, are giving AAA ratings, of course, to companies that never should have had AAA ratings. It was all...